apply pressure. I'm gonna apply pressure. I'm gonna apply pressure.
No mercy. No mercy. I'm gonna give you no mercy. Baby, I'm gonna give you this.
You're now in tune to Convos with Mr. Cooper.
All right, all right. Welcome to Convos. I'm Mr. Cooper. Today is a very special day. It's a very special episode of Convos. Why? Because I don't pick a lot of people to come on my show. That's right. You know, this is no nonsense. I talk my shit and I do it well. The people who I bring on, who I choose to bring on, I feel have something to say. I feel that they have something to get out to the world, and outside of their platform, what better way to bring them onto my platform and let my people see who I look up to and who I look at as people who will change this entire game. Today, I'm speaking with a financial guru. I'm speaking with someone that has proven success. Keyword, proven success. Not the talkers that talk it and can't back it up. I can't stand that shit. I really can't. He's a business builder. This man has invested in real estate. I'm going to let him speak on that. I had know nothing about it. The thing that was most interesting to me to learn about is he has an extensive light or way into network marketing. I knew very much about network marketing, and this man has been on tour. He's done music. He's a fucking millionaire, guys. I'm talking with none other than Mr. Where's My Money, Jason Rash.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, man. This is gonna be like legit.
Come on, man.
I'm jacked, man. Thank you again, man. Like, I'm telling you, man. Like all of you watching this right now, you are in for a treat, because I'm gonna be talking about some things on this show here that I haven't talked about even on my own podcast.
See, and what's the name of your podcast?
Where's My Money?
Come on, don't you just love to hear that? Where's My Money? Where can they listen to Where's My Money?
So they can go to any platform that's out there that they listen to their favorite podcast. You got Apple, you got iTunes, you got Spotify, you know, there's a million other, wherever
Pandora,
else.
Pandora, you have so many ways.
Yeah, I'm out there.
I suggest you find a way to listen to his podcast. Listen, Jason, I met Jason here. I met him here in the studios of Pod Populi. And I tell you, ever since I met you, we kind of hit it off. We hit it off in a sense of mutual respect. I'm in the studios constantly. I'm working 4 days a week in here in the studio. And it's only one other person that I see that's putting in the work and putting in that effort to make sure that his content is out here to the world. And that's Jason. And I feel like it's no better way to have someone on my show like Jason than Jason. So now we're going to start this interview. It's not like any other interview, because the people that come on Convos, I want them to talk about their life, their journey, not just the successes, not just what they're used to, but something that keeps you on your toes, something that you constantly think about or have people thinking about when they watch your show. Jason, where are you from?
Born and raised in Montgomery, Alabama.
Montgomery.
Yeah, man. Nothing's going on there, brother.
Said nothing's good. This is the second time you said that to me. I said nothing's going on there.
Nothing going on there.
What was your start like? What was your journey like before real estate, before becoming the guru that you are? Give us a little bit about your background.
Sure, man. So I was born in 1997, came into this world. And I got to be honest with you, man. Like, I remember at a very young age, I would say my first name, my middle name, and my last name in the car. Like, Jason McKinley Rash. I'm probably 4 years old, man. Like, one of my earliest memories, my mom was like, "You really like saying that, don't you?" I was like, it sounds great. At the time, cool wasn't a word, but I was like, I like it. And I've always dreamed of something more. I always knew there was something bigger inside of me, you know? And so as growing up, I had a great childhood. Probably all the way up to the age of 12. And then my father left. And, you know, it crushed me as a young man. I was an only child. It crushed me as a young man. And, you know, it's kind of like the situation where, you know, back in the day in the 90s, early 90s, I think it was 1991, they got divorced. You know, they were supposed to go, like, your dad's supposed to come over like every other weekend. Mm-hmm. Every other weekend turned into like every other weekend, and then every month, once a month, and then once every other month. And then eventually he was just gone.
Wow.
And I took all that anger inside of me, and I still knew I had big dreams, but I was angry. I was angry at the world. I was angry at God. I didn't understand why this had happened to me. My hero had just gone and just kind of left me there with my mom. And I picked up a guitar. I got my hands on a guitar. Actually, right before that, I saw Kurt Cobain. I saw a video come out by a band called Nirvana. Mm-hmm. And it was on this show on MTV called Alternative Nation. And it was about 11 p.m. at night, man. It came out. I'd never seen anything like this before in my entire life. I just want to say it was like 1992. Okay. I'd never heard music like this. I'm getting chill bumps right now, man. Like, I never heard music like this. I was just standing there in awe, looking at I had like a 13-channel TV or something like that. I can't remember. And I was watching. And I was like, I was just drawn to it like a magnet. And sometimes whenever you get the voice of God inside you, you hear a vision. It's like you can't articulate the words, but it comes to you as a frequency. And it told me, it said, you can do that. You can do that. I knew instantly, I was like, I can do that. I never picked up a guitar for my entire life. I never played guitar. Didn't know anybody that played guitar. I was like, I can do that. And then I went out. My mom was like, hey, what do you want for Christmas? I want a guitar. And I ran with it.
So that stemmed from you seeing Nirvana.
Yeah.
May I ask the song that you heard?
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Down, down, tick a down, down, tick a down, down, tick a down, down.
Yeah.
Never heard that. Nobody was doing that. Keep in mind, man, everything was like she's my cherry pie. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like Warrant. Was like Motley Crue. Like, nobody was doing. Nobody was talking about like self-reflection, like internal, like mental health. Nobody was talking about that.
That was
like,
early mental health talk.
Yeah, that was the first time I had ever heard anyone talk about like, hey, listen, I've got these issues going on. I feel depressed. I feel sad. I feel lonely. And I identified with it immediately, because all they were talking about was cherry pie, drinking, destroying other bands, drinking, destroying hotel rooms, partying up all night, sleep all day. I mean, that's what rock and roll was until he came out. He just literally one band brought his words brought the entire industry of 80s rock and roll to the ground.
Yes, it did.
I mean, just burned it to the ground faster than anything.
And one thing I want to let you all know is music fuels this show. It really does. You may not have known about it from the start of the new season, but music is really behind this. And we're going to get into his journey in music in a few. But I want to just double back a little bit, because you said something that that I touched on my podcast a couple of episodes ago. Your father left.
Yeah.
See, that's a touchy subject for men, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of men out there that either had their father in the home or grew up without their father. But either way, in some shape, form, or fashion, they've learned or saw that kind of abandonment from that other half of them that was supposed to be there specifically.
Yeah.
And that leaves a mark. And it could take you two different ways. It could take you down two different roads. And because I felt that anger.
Yeah.
And I could have used that anger to go down a road that we wouldn't be sitting here talking today.
Yeah.
You know, so I know the anger had you shift focus, but how did that turn around and turn out to be a great thing for you, even dealing with that hurt of losing that other person? Cause he wasn't dead and gone. He left.
Right.
And that's the thing. My father's still on this earth.
Right.
And was never there. So I can resonate with that.
So yeah. And thank you for saying that. I think I just got really angry. It was confusion. I could not understand why my father had left me, because he was just this perfect dad growing up, never cussed at me, never yelled at me. We hung out and we did all sorts of stuff. And then he was just gone. And you know, I went down the road of drugs about 15 years old. Mm-hmm. 16, it got a lot worse. You know, 17, 18, I was into like smoking opium. I mean, it started off just, you know, marijuana here and there. And then by the time I was like 21, I was snorting coke. It was bad.
Not that bad.
Yeah. And let me just speak very clearly on the drugs. Cause it's, first things first, my wife, my soon to be wife, I was in a relationship with an individual. I believe that people can bring out the good side of you or the bad side of you. I was in a relationship with an individual, a female that brought out the bad side of me. That's all it was. It was drinking and drugs. That was it. There was nothing beyond that. So I was involved in that. And then, so one, my grandfather passed away, a gentleman that I looked up to. I still think about him every day, man. And he passed away, and it crushed me so bad. He passed away in 1999, July 1999, and it crushed me so bad. And I had to drive to his funeral, which was 8 hours away. And I'm just trying to replay this, but I got some clarity. You know, God works in mysterious ways. So I left out Montgomery, Alabama, where I was living at the time with this young lady that was getting me sucked into drugs. I went to go be at my grandfather's funeral. I was so crushed that I couldn't even attend. I just cried so hard, man. As I felt like, you know, like that young boy inside of me was coming out. It was really hard to explain. But that 3-day gap, I realized I could go without drugs for 3 days. I realized, and I started really getting my head around, and I started talking to my grandmother a lot, like, hey, listen, and she poured into me, said, look, you're destined for so much more. I told her I was hooked on these drugs, and she's like, you don't have to go through this. You don't have to do this. This is my dad's mother, by the way. And I drove back all by myself in silence the whole entire time for 8 hours, all the way from North Carolina to Alabama. And I literally walked in the door of the trailer that I lived in, and I said, you have to go. And she's like, well, what do you mean? I said, you have to go. I'm going to give you 60 minutes to get everything out of this house, or I'm going to throw it out, and I'll throw you out too. And I literally knew what I wanted, and I claimed it. And so I got her, she called her cousin. They came and got everything out, and whatever was left, I literally threw it on the porch and shut the door. And I turned my life over. I said, God, if there's a woman out there that I know that can bring out the good side of me, I know that you can. I know that you can. And she did. It was my wife now, right? Mm-hmm. I met her. She was 19 and I was 22 at the time. It was 6 months after I kicked this girl out. But here's the thing, how life works, man. We must be willing to let go of the life that we have in order to receive the life that is waiting for us, right? I had to let her go. I had to let her go. As much as I love the drugs, I knew that I was destined for greatness. So I let her go. And I was like, okay, who do I need to become to attract the woman that I see in my mind? Who do I need to become? And I was like, hey, you got to get off the drugs. A woman that is going to help you launch into greatness is never going to be on drugs.
Come on.
She's never going to date you. She's not going to have anything to do with it. She won't even look your way. By the way, you might as well give up cigarette smoking too. Mm-hmm. And you might as well give up all these people. See, this is the most insidious thing about drugs. It's the people that it brings in the network, right? You can always tell somebody by the five people that you hang around. I was hanging around people that were robbers. They were addicts. They would steal from you. They would steal from other people. They would steal from their own mama. And I was like, dude, I got to get away from all of these people immediately. And I just, that clarity when my grandfather passed away, I call it a great blessing because it gave me the clarity to launch into meeting the woman. I would not be the man that I am now if I had not met my wife.
Come on.
I wouldn't.
I say that about my wife as well. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And you know, the most insidious thing about drugs, and I want anybody who's ever been addicted to drugs or is possibly going through an addiction or knows somebody who's on addiction, I want you to understand one thing about drugs. The drugs themselves are not the problem. It's not that they're addicted to drugs. When I did drugs, I knew I had greatness inside of me, and I was using that to push it down. I was using that to avoid. I was using that to take care of unresolved issues that I had internally. It had nothing to do with the cocaine, mm-hmm. nothing to do with everything. I never shot a needle into my arm or anything. My kids know all about this. I've talked to them about it, but that is why I was addicted to drugs, because I was addicted to the feeling of pushing down an unresolved issue that I just never wanted to address.
And that's the thing about that.
Yeah.
You did a deep dive. That's what I get out of that story.
I think when you hit rock bottom, you have to
do a deep dive. Yeah. And then you realize that woman wasn't the right woman for you. She didn't serve your higher purpose.
Right.
And when you realize that, you either do two things. You stay in it, or you put your foot down and you make a decision to change. And that's what you did. And that's why you are who you are, sir. Let's jump ahead.
Hey, yo, can we get a Black Rings Unite on that? Let's do it. Bam. Let's go.
That's it. Let's jump ahead to this music career that I've heard so much about.
Yeah, man. Let's do it. Let's do it.
So your beginning in the music career, it started with a band.
It did. It did. I was in a band probably about age of 21, somewhere in there. I started playing in bands. Actually, I started playing like all through 15, but we were just, you know, messing around in a storage unit sometimes.
So was it guitar?
Yeah. Started with guitar. Lead? Electric, heavy. No, I wouldn't call it
Come
lead.
On,
no.
It was lead.
He's like,
it was lead. We're not even, it was lead.
We're calling it now.
We're calling it lead.
We're calling it now. I was good though, but it was like heavy metal, like Metallica, you know, things like that. I started to learn some like Master Puppets. You know, have you ever seen Stranger Things?
Yes.
You know,
yeah. Yes.
That's the kind of music I did.
Okay.
And then it went on to like, I started playing in that band. Like I said, we were playing in a garage and like a storage shed. And then they wanted to keep doing cover songs, is where you play somebody else's material. Right. And I had all these ideas inside of me for other things that were not even heavy metal.
Right.
And so I kind of like drifted away. I said, hey, this isn't going to work for me. And so I picked up the guitar, played a couple of different things. I found and networked out with other people. And within like a year, I'd written an album. I wrote the whole album myself.
You wrote the whole album?
The whole album.
Like how many songs?
12 songs.
12 songs.
12 songs. Wrote the whole album. Didn't really know. Yeah. To me,
had a lot to get out.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all angry, heavy metal music, but it had some other little little twinges of pop, little twinges of like other little, you could see where the influences are in my life, especially when I look back.
Right.
That was the first record I ever recorded, man. I was really proud of that.
What was the name of the record?
I think it was called Monday Night or something. Monday the band night. Was called like 0-3. It was pretty terrible.
0-3. So I'm going to clarify something for you all. Just so you all, I told you my show is rooted in music. This man is a financial guru, a guru in so many different ways, but I believe he's a musical genius as well. And he's had his time within what I feel is the best time in music. The touring, the knowing, the struggle of actually selling a record.
Yeah.
The struggle of actually having your records in stores like Circuit City and Best Buy.
Hold on. Can we talk about like selling a record like in a bar? That was what I did for years, man. Dude, we would bring a box of CDs in. Let me tell you how we did it. Okay. So that was my first record. Okay. That one went nowhere. All right. That was the first of 14. I did 15 in 7 years. I wrote 15 records in 7 years.
15 records in 7 years. That's work. Continue.
I ain't afraid of work, dog. You see me in here working.
Come
you,
on, all the time.
Yeah, if Richard, hey, let's give a shout out to Richard.
Come
if Richard,
on, what's up, Rich?
Richard here is on the boards, and if Richard would stay another 2 hours today, I could get more podcast launched. But I totally understand he's got a life and he's got somewhere he's got things to go. To do. He's got a life going on too. Yeah. I completely understand.
He's pretty popular.
But yeah, exactly. Like the second record that I put out though, like I wrote all the songs for that, but I had some help from I had a totally different group of people. Mm-hmm. I was 23 at the time. We found a 13-year-old kid had played guitar. This kid was a prodigy. His name was Chris, man. He was a prodigy. And I had like a 15-year-old bass player, an 18-year-old, this is going to be funny, an 18-year-old drummer. But the singer, I was 23 at the time, but the singer was 30. And somehow it worked. We were called Xenovox, X-E-N-O-V-O-X. Don't ask me where I came up with the name. I wrote all the songs, or most of them. We'll say I wrote most of them songs.
Most.
Yeah, most of the songs. I even wrote, I'm not going to go down that road. Anyway, but we what happened was we would go to the smelly, stinky bar. We would play for like $100. We played the set. They would pay us $100 and they would come back the following weekend and do the same. And a few other bars around town, we saved up enough to go record our second record, which at the time I think was like, I want to say it was like $1,000, something like that. And then like to get them printed up, I want to say it was like about $1,000, but that's grinding. There's no social media. That's
real independence.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But it gets even better. So we bought boxes. This is all I knew how to do, bro. This was it. Like I had a friend of mine who had made it. He was in a band called Trust Company who had the same producer as Linkin Park, the same producer. Like this dude was in LA. He was like, this is how you need to do it. This is the path you need to walk. So it was a repeatable path. So we had boxes of CDs. We would walk in, we would sell them. And if we sold all of our CDs, because we sold them for like $10 a pop. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like if I did the math on it, like to get them all printed up was like $1.25 or something like that a pop. So we were doing pretty good.
Made like good nine, something profit. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so we started writing our second CD. I was like, all right, guys, we got done with the first CD. I was like, bam, we're going to go start recording the next CD. On the way to that, we got picked up and we got to play a show in front of 10,000 people, man. First time ever.
How was that experience for you?
It was called Tiger Stock. And this is 2002, man. And it was unbelievable. It was people as far as I could see. I wish to God I had a cell phone. I would have snapped it with my iPhone, but that wasn't invented at the time. And the person who took the photos only took photos from the crowd looking back up at the stage.
Wow, so they didn't get a lot of footage. Gotcha.
That's what I said.
Some people, oh my goodness. I had one job.
Yeah, to make it look epic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it flopped. But anyway, shout out to them. They did a great job. But, you know, it's a situation where, man, dude, I was nervous. It was one of those parts where I had to start off with like the solo part and it was just me. All 10,000 people are there. And I was like, don't mess this up. Don't mess this up. Don't mess this up. Don't mess this up. But I practiced that one part because I knew I'd be playing it in the beginning like 17,000 times, man. I knew it. I was like, if it was raining, I was going to hit it. If it was windy, I was going to hit it. If a girl jumped on stage and did something inappropriate, I was not going to be distracted. Focus.
So let's speak to that, because that plays into who you are today too. Preparation.
Yeah.
How important is it? And we're speaking to our music, you know, our artists, the independent artists, the independent culture. How important is it to really hone in on your craft if you call yourself trying to be an artist or a creator?
Well, I think it, number one, it's unbelievably important, because the more the prepared you are, the more you can improv, because things are going to happen. You know, shorts are going to happen, like shortage, like in cables or like electrical things are going to happen no matter what you do. But if you know what your material is and you've done this 1,000 times in your bedroom, but you've seen all the people in your mind, like there's somebody out there, like whenever I'm playing guitar, I'm not playing it to practice, because I envision myself out there in front of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. I see the ocean of people in my mind.
Yes.
I'm going to get there. Here.
That's
Yeah, I knew I was going to get there. In that moment, I was like, this is kind of cool. I could feel the wind blowing. I wasn't even looking at my guitar. It's like my body just was playing the part. And then my guy came in on the side, the 13-year-old kid, just came in and just like it was natural. But we practiced so hard that on the stops of the song, you'd be like, in between the stops, you could hear a pin drop. You could hear, I mean, it was tight, dog. Like if it wasn't tight, it'd be stop, do it over. Do it again, do it again, do it again. That's not tight enough. That sounds loose. That sounds terrible. Let's do it again. Somebody's out of tune. But I think you have to be like that. Like you have to see it like bigger than what it is, more than a hobby. It's like, we're going to ride this train to the top, no stopping. But you got to be willing to put the discipline in and put the work in no matter what.
So the wheels fall off.
You have to. You have to. Like,
It's that goes to what's gone on with myself and my partner. The beginning of the pandemic, right before the pandemic started, we formulated our network, Signature Series Network, an entire independent station, over 20. So I believe 25 channels now.
That's incredible.
So, and it's done nothing but grow from the pandemic to now. But what that gave us, it gave us a it gave us an eye into what's to come. Because during the pandemic, or right before the pandemic, I told my partner, there's a shift coming. Didn't know what it was, didn't know, you know, how it would get here, but that shift hit, and that shift was COVID.
Right.
And when COVID came, COVID changed the game for everybody, in some bad, some, like myself, in successful ways because of the work that we put in during COVID.
Or beforehand. Let's call it for what it is. Let's call it for what it is. You know, there ain't success ain't an overnighter.
No, it's not.
It's a slow burning fire.
Yes, it is.
I'm just being real.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But that is what it did. But I saw it more so within that time frame of the pandemic. It's like this analogy of digging holes, right? You're digging holes to try to catch that water.
Yeah.
We've dug so many holes. We've dug the holes in the right place to now it's catching water season.
Right.
But that doesn't absolve you from continuing to put in the work.
Right. There's no mountaintop.
Ain't no mountaintop.
Like there is zero mountaintop in any of this. I feel like that's the biggest lie of my generation. Like yes. I'm 45. I'll be 46 this year. Like at some point in time, all that perfection and everything will just drive you to the mountaintop. And I've discovered as high as I've climbed, as fast as I've climbed from the trailer park to making millions of dollars, there ain't no mountaintop.
And listen, we're going to come back. Going to pay a few bills, but we're going to talk about this $1 million journey and why real estate is so important and why building wealth is so important.
Let's go.
We'll be right back. More convos. Mr. Cooper.
First I let my wheel spin, then I let my screen fall, then I let my trunk beat, then I let my trunk beat. First I let my wheel spin, then I let my screen fall, then I let my trunk beat, then I let my trunk beat. First I let my wheel spin.
Welcome back to Convos. I'm Mr. Cooper, and I'm joined by my guest, Mr. Jason Rash. Jay, if I can call you Jay.
Go ahead, man.
I'm going to call you Jay.
It's like it's my show. I'm going to call you whatever I want.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's dive into real estate.
Okay.
I know nothing about real estate, sir. And that's another reason why I wanted to have you on.
Sure.
Because plenty of my viewers, I'm pretty sure y'all know nothing about real estate. The majority of you know nothing about it. Don't lie. Just be honest.
He can see you. He's looking at you right now.
But what better way to learn, to have more of an understanding than having, in my opinion, the guru? I mean, this man is talked about on other people's shows. Yes. Other people's shows are showing clips of this face right here. And all he's doing is spitting the God honest truth. That's it. Sir, what was your start in real estate? And why is it so important to you to build from that foundation?
This story is going to blow you away. Richard, you better make sure this shit's recording.
Let's go.
I'm just saying. So my father passed away in June of 2020. Mm. And before he passed away, he said to me, he said, Jason, you're making a little bit of money. You need to get into real estate. And I can still remember it to this day, man. He told me that probably about 2 days before he passed away. And you know, he saw something in me that day that I couldn't see myself. After he passed away, I didn't listen to him. I went into the stock market. I went into the stock market. I lost $26,000 in 8 minutes. Just evaporated like that. And here's the thing. I always feel that God's trying to tell you something. Money's always trying to teach you a lesson, by the way. It's always teaching you a lesson. If you don't have it, there's something you don't know about creating enough. If you got too much of it, you know something about making money, but if you can't manage it, then there's something you don't know about money, right? Same thing. You don't have to make it, save it, invest it, or manage it. It's always teaching you a lesson. So I didn't listen to my dad that day, and I put the $26,000, I lost the $26,000 in the stock market, but I stopped and I said, okay. What are you trying to tell me, God? I paused for a moment because I had like $300,000 in the stock market. And I was like, you got to understand, in my position, that losing 26 grand is not a big deal. It was not a big deal.
Right.
It was the amount of time that it got wiped out. This is what scared me.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, what level were you at prior to the 26,000 debacle?
I'm gonna say like I just beat the boss like back in the day. I don't know. I don't know what you mean by the level.
Well, level of finance, level of, to be able to invest into.
I knew how to make money.
Gotcha.
I didn't really know how to invest it.
Gotcha.
So like the thing about stocks, what most people don't understand is that the thing about that's so insidious about the stock market is that you can't control or impact the outcome. There's nothing I can talk to Elon Musk about. Hey, look, you need to go ahead and release that Cybertruck, man. Your stocks are going to go through the roof. Right. Or go talk to Apple. Yo, Timmy, go ahead and release, you know, that car you got back there, those wearable glasses or whatever, right? I can't control or impact the outcome. It's literally me handing my money over to another entity and that I've worked hard for. I've traded time and energy, effort and attention to be able to grow that money. And this is what's so insidious about this. But back to the story, right? I lost 26 grand in 8 minutes. I paused and I said, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? And I was like, okay, what if this was like years of savings and I had $260,000 in there and I evaporated in 8 minutes? Or what if it was a lifetime of savings? There's 2.6 million just gone 8 minutes. And I was like, I don't like that. And you always have to pay a price when it comes to money to learn the lesson. You always have to.
Mm-hmm.
Either you get conned, you get swindled, or you made a bad choice, or you made a bad deal. I lost. I'm not going to go into some other losses, but I chose to learn this lesson at $26,000 instead of paying $2.6 million. Right. So I was like, okay, I just took the lesson at 26 grand and I took all my money out. And then I went into real estate. I thought about what my dad said. Once I got all the money in my account, I'm getting chill bumps right now. And by the way, whenever I get chill bumps, I know that
something's happening.
It's legit, dog. Yeah. Like I'm impacting somebody right now. The words that are coming out of my mouth are impacting someone's ears, man.
Come on.
And so I thought about that man when he saw the man in me that I could have been, that I couldn't see myself. The whole reason was because I was very unconfident as a teenager. I was terrible in school. I was on drugs. I doubted myself. I lacked confidence. And it was all because he left me. I'm not blaming him, but I'm saying that that's what it was.
Played a role in
absolutely.
Your makeup.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what it was. That's the reason why I barely made it out of high school, man. I talk about it on one of the podcasts. I was the last person. My mom can back this up. I was the very last person to find out they were going to graduate. I did not even know I was going to graduate until the day we walked.
Wow. Wow.
Like, that's how bad it was.
Okay.
That's how bad it was. But I'm not, we're not getting into like, gotcha. like those type of stories. That's why I never went into real estate, because I thought that I didn't possess the gene of the smart gene of being able to understand how real estate investing works. But that losing 26 grand, I was like, well, that's not working. That's not going to work. So I was like, I was forced to go into it, man. I was like, you know, I mean, like, it was the stocks and it was the mutual funds, bonds, T-bills, all that stuff. It was, I couldn't control or impact the outcome. And so I went into real estate. I said, okay, let's start from the bottom here. Let's start with single family homes. I understood the concept. You buy a home for X, you can rent it out for X, and whatever's left over, that's what you get to keep. I understood that basic concept. So I was like, okay, I bought some books and I said, okay, look, here's the deal. I'm going to study as hard as I can around single family homes for 90 days. If I cannot figure it out and close on a property within 90 days, I'm not going to do this either. That means, let's back it up. So let's say by day 90, I have to close. 60 days in, I've already got to identify a property and make an offer on the contract, right? Mm-hmm. 30 days out from getting started, I've already got to have enough confidence to be able to start looking for a property. I have to know what the hell I'm looking at, mm-hmm. right? And that's the crazy thing about real estate. People, if you don't know what a good deal looks like, any deal will work. Mm. You have to know what a good deal looks like.
Did you all hear that? If you don't know what a good deal looks like, any deal will work. Go ahead, brother.
And that's how they take you to, that's how you get taken to the woodshed. And that's a fact.
You're thinking you're making the right deal, but you haven't done your due diligence.
Go ahead. You got to know what you're looking at. So I got my hands around it. I understood what cash flow was. I understood variable rates, interest rates, fixed rates. I started to understand all of that. I believe, to be very honest with you, that most people don't do so. They don't get involved in real estate, or they don't get involved like deeply with investing, because they don't understand the language.
So give me one misconception about the real estate game that you hear a lot, or you may see from people that's trying to get into the game. Like
they think they can get into the real estate with like no money down. Like no money down, or like they think that I'm just like, dude, like what planet do you live on, man? Like real estate is expensive.
Oh my God.
I talked about in the podcast when you walked in, I'm like, either you're going to pay for it, or the bank's going to help you out, or you're going to have a hard money lender. And by the way, I wouldn't do one of those unless you know exactly what you're doing, or you're going to have friends and family get in there. And don't do that until you've done a few deals and you know right. what you're looking at. Right. So, right. I mean, and it goes back to the very beginning. Well, you know, I kind of want to get into this real estate game for free. That ain't going to happen. Anything that's going to make you money is going to cost you money. Anything on this planet.
You all have to be well aware of what money is. You know, if you know what money is, and I'm not just saying for the fact of calling yourself a millionaire or saying you're a millionaire based on the standards of what the United States government says you're a millionaire. No, a millionaire's worth is not the dollar amount.
Yeah, I don't have $1 million in a bank account.
It's here. To me, it's here. It's here and here. If you show that passion and you know what you want to do, you can make a million easily. Not easy as far as tangible.
Simply.
You can make it. You can do it. You have to say it out of your mouth. You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in your worth. Believe in who you are and what you bring to the table. I asked this question to a couple of people that actually last night I had a conversation with a cool ass professional wrestler. And I asked what was his purpose, because from the looks of everything, being a performer, you know, being able to touch the crowd, being able to motivate the people, being able to, you know, impact the people. I saw that in him. I see the same thing in you. I have not attended any one of your lectures, anything that you've done outside of social media, but I've been watching and I notice that you have a passion for the people.
I do.
For the people. So I want to ask, sir, what's your purpose?
That's a great question. you know, I've been broke almost all of my adult life because there was something I didn't know about money. The belief that I told myself was that I had to work physically hard for money. Mm. That's the belief that I owned. That's how I fulfilled worth inside of me. Mm. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to earn this money. And so be it. This is how I did it. And then everything changed. My wife said, hey, you know, I worked out at the gym. And she was like, hey, man, why don't you become a personal trainer? And I was like, okay. So I became a personal trainer, started doing that on the side. And I'm like, holy cow. Like, people started paying me a lot for it because I was really good at it. Mm-hmm. But I still faced a lot of financial struggles. Went on to do multiple things. Now that I've gone on to make millions of dollars, I wanted to help that person that desires to change their life. I didn't have somebody like me in my corner. You know, there was no YouTubes. There was no social media. There was no Instagram. There was nobody. It was just me. There was no Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins was nobody in 2008. You couldn't even find this dude. He was a nobody.
Big facts.
You know, and so I want to help that. I want to reach that individual, you know, that is out there and that wants to change their life. I want to break it down into a sixth grade term, terms that people can understand. Like if you cannot explain what it is you're doing to a six-year-old, and they do not understand it, then you obviously do not know it. Don't know it well enough. You just don't. And I explained this to people. I'm like, look, buy a house, rent it out. This is what it pays. It's a very, very simple, repeatable pathway to wealth. I want to be that person that comes along and says, is there another way? I'm not going to say I want to take down Wall Street, but I want to burn Wall Street to the ground.
Come on.
Because I think that it's a bunch of scams. I think it's a lie. I think it's just something that they just want to lock your money up for 30 years on a subscription model that funnels their entire lifestyle. It pays for the planes. You're paying for the lights. You're paying for all their expensive lifestyles. Whereas I put no money into Wall Street and I make millions of dollars all without the help of Wall Street. Mm. It's totally possible.
So you see it already.
I know it.
You know it.
I know it. I don't like everybody. If you've ever you follow me on Instagram, but if you ever follow me on Facebook, dude, you'll be blown away. Mm-hmm. Like I have so many haters. I got like 40 something thousand followers on there. I will post a reel about cashing out your 401k and buying real estate, and 500 to 700 people will come on there and they'll be like, this dude's an idiot. He's a clown. He's an idiot. All of these people, by the way, all of them have like $3,000 in their savings account. All of them. And they think that I'm the dumb one. Like that's the thing about it is that they can't when you go for your dream, it's always going to be somebody less that's telling you to stop. Always. It's
all the time.
Always. Nobody doing more than me and making more than me is telling me, Hey, that's dumb. You need to stop. You need to slow down. Hey, slow it down, man. That's a little much. I don't have anybody telling me that. That's more. The dude I know making $5 million a year. That's 400. How many? What's Richard? What was it? 417 grand a month. Something like that. I think it was 417 grand a month, which breaks down to like $14,700 a day. Richard did the math. Trust me, we did this the other day.
My goodness.
That's a lot of money, right? He's like, dude, I would never tell you to slow down. Keep going. You're not doing enough.
Come on.
He's like, you're not doing enough. And I'm just like, okay, I know who I'm hanging with.
See, the one thing about social media, though, that I've learned is you can't take social media serious. I learned that from the beginning. When, you know, it was MySpace, and after MySpace, Facebook came, Twitter, and then Facebook. And then I saw so many people just using social media as a way to show their lifestyle or as a way to reconnect with somebody that they may have, you know, lost touch with or something like that. And even then it turned into showing fake lifestyles and then showing so much drama and things like that. From the beginning, when I used social media, after I got out of the wave of trying to reconnect, I used social media as a branding tool.
Yeah.
Social media for me was the way that I could brand myself to the masses and hold myself accountable, because what you show, eventually someone's going to see. They're going to figure you out. They're going to say, I've never come across to say I'm a millionaire or do these things, because I'm not. I've never come across to anyone to try to disrespect them online, disrespect them on an opinion of mine when they know fact.
Right.
You know, and that's what I see. So you get a lot of hate from that online. How do you deal with that hate, being in the position that you are? Because you can honestly shake that shit off. Can honestly whatever. How do you deal with it?
Well, number one, I think in the beginning it rattled me. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning I had a very small network, and it was people that I knew, like in real life, that were coming after me.
So these people
in the beginning,
were acquaintances. They're correct. Aware.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And when you go for your dream in the beginning, all you got is the people that are around you. You know, yeah, exactly. And yeah. So these people are like tearing me down. I couldn't understand it. I was out there talking about money, the power of money, what you could do with money, what it can do to set you free. And if you focused all of your attention on it and you focus everything on making more money, then you could free your whole entire family forever. Yes. That's satanic. That wow. You're worshiping a god. You can't do that. Don't you remember where you come from? Who do you think you are? Wow. Like, oh yeah, man. Like these are from people. Yeah. Yeah.
So I had a it hasn't aired yet, and I can't wait till it does air. But I have a episode entitled "I Don't Owe You Shit."
There you go.
I suggest that you all listen to that episode. I don't owe you shit. And that is what I'd say as well. You've worked so hard, sir. I don't know you personally. I'm making it my business to get to know you even beyond this podcast and the work that we're going to do later on. But from what I'm getting from your story, you come from a place of being so genuine because you've come from rock bottom. You've come from a place where the average person would have given up. The average person would have said, you know what? I'm going to get by on my good looks and just, you know, skate this way. I'm going to get by and just go do this. I can do this. No, you didn't let a lack of a father stop you. You didn't let lack of not knowing stop you. Anything that you went and did, you found out, you did it on your own. You put the work in. And now look at where you are. Sir, what are the most important elements in your life?
I would think that's a good question. Number one, God's always working, man, for you.
Come on.
He's always working for
you. Come on.
I see it every day. I used to not. I used to not see it, but I see it every single day now. I see his goodness. I see his glory. There's been so many when I look back, 2020 vision, dog. You know, 2020 vision.
Vision.
2020 vision. You could be, he showed up there. He showed up there. Yeah. And he was there. He was present in that moment too.
In retrospect.
Oh, yeah. Always. But it's going forward is when I really see him. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? No matter what I've done and what I've accomplished, I know that it's just a tip of the iceberg, man. Like for instance, I wrote down Dave here whenever you were talking about that stuff. I was on the Dave Ramsey show. Do you know mm-hmm. who Dave Ramsey is?
I've heard of him. And actually, I've heard of him because you were on the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a big financial guru. They brought me on, but not for the right reasons. They basically screenshot my video. Somebody tagged my video. They were tearing me down. Mm-hmm. And they said, Dave Ramsey, what do you think about this? Show this guy here that he's an idiot. Show him that he doesn't know what he's talking about. So they basically screenshot my video, put it on the Dave Ramsey show in mm-hmm. front of millions of people. They drag me out there. They discredit everything that I say and everything that I'm talking about. And they basically called me a two-bit scam and a clickbait king. So I had shirts made up called Clickbait King. And many people were like, hey, you know what? You could like sue him for defamation. And I was like, I don't think you understand how God works. Mm-mm. And I was like, do you understand? I was just featured on the Dave Ramsey show. Give me a high five.
Come on.
And people don't understand how God works. He's like, listen, look, I'm going to pull you to this and I'm going to thrust you into stardom, but you may not like the avenue that it's going to happen on. But here's the thing, Luke, I could have actually gone out there and built a brand online, spent millions of dollars, and he would have never asked me to be on his show. But my creativity, my energy, my charisma, man, it got me on the show like that.
Black Rings Unite.
Let's go, let's go, let's go. Bam. There we go. And that's what I'm talking about. It's the difference. So like this is so many people, we all live on different planets, right? And when the person reached out to me, said, you should sue him for that. This is that. And I told him why I wouldn't. And I did this in a public forum on my Facebook page. I got that one comment alone got hundreds of likes. And then I commented underneath it a second later. And I said, this is the difference between you and me. You're on one planet and I'm on the other.
Surfing planets right now.
That's what I'm saying. That's literally how it works. But I mean, it's the avenue which God's going to pull you through it. And so I would say that's the first thing.
Right.
Number one, and always keep family important, right? As I can tell, like I'm on a rise. There's higher level influencers now that want to come on my podcast. I reached out to a guy that I've always looked up to. He's in Canada. He's a musical artist. He's incredible, actually. He's done unbelievably well. He's like, yeah, I want to come on your podcast. And so I've got other people now like you. I've got a lot of people that are asking, right? Yeah. I would have never met you if I'd never wanted to be committed to put the work in here. Right. The only reason why we keep bumping into each other is because I'm putting in work.
Because you're putting in work.
You see what I'm saying?
I wouldn't have met him had I not came in here to do the do the damn thing.
That's right. You're putting in the work, I'm coming in the door. I'm putting in the work and you're coming in the door.
He's leaving, I'm coming in, or I'm coming in, or he, you know, it's the work.
Right.
It's the work element.
Hard work pays off. It pays off. HWPO, it pays off so much. I would say it's God and then it's family, because they keep you grounded. Mm-hmm. They keep you grounded. They're the person who you really can be around. And you can't treat these people, you know, like you can just throw them away. I mean, these people are here for you. They knew you when you were nothing, right? The third thing is hard work, man. There's no mountaintop. There is no mountaintop. Like, you have to grind to get to find out who you are. And once you find out a little piece of, like, oh my God, I didn't know I could accomplish that. And then you go to the next thing, and then you go to the next thing, then you go to the next thing, and it never stops. It never stops. Like, the day I die, I will look up at heaven if I'm just lucky enough and be like, what do you got next for me, God? What do you got next for me? Because you brought me here. I did everything you told me to do. When I die, I want to be that individual. And they rake my body into heaven and they bring my soul up there and it goes, ah! It goes up into, that's me doing the little angelic, and they bring me up there and Jesus is looking at me and God's looking at me. They're gonna bet you did pretty good. This is what we thought you could do. You kind of deviated a little bit, but you came pretty damn close and we're proud of you.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, listen. That's it, man.
I love that, man. What's next for you, Jay?
You know, I think I'm about to release a course, obviously. Okay. I want to help people, because look, I do personal financial coaching. My stuff's not cheap. I work with high net worth individuals. We're talking like 350 and above that do that a year. And I understand there's people out there that cannot afford my services. I totally get that. But like I told you, I want to reach the people who I was before.
Right.
Right. When I was broke and I was going through the tragedies and all the financial stuff, I didn't know any single person who was a millionaire.
Come on.
Not one. And that's where most people find themselves. The only reason why they're in the situation that they're in is because they've surrounded themselves with people who are in that same situation. Mm-hmm. Every time in my life, whenever I found myself at the lowest point, I had subconsciously surrounded myself with people who are going through their lowest point. So what I want to do is I want to sell a product, $27 product. I'm going to teach them the seven ways and the habits and the skills that they need to learn to begin to get on the right road of financial freedom. $27. Anybody that's hungry enough can scrape together $27.
$27.
Yeah, that's right. And you guys can find me on social media, by the way. It's Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Jason Rash, R-A-S-H. I mean, you are a culmination of the five people you surround yourself with, but you don't have to like actually know the people to like surround yourself with. They can be right. Your mentor. They could, that fifth person could be me in the corner. It could be you in the corner that they're popping in their ears. You got negative Nelly over here. Just like, oh, who do you think you are? You can't do that. You don't, do you know what neighborhood you come from? Do you know what color you are? Do you know what gender you are? Do you know what your father did? Do you know what these people did? Do you know that nobody here has ever gone to college? There's no future for this family. Really? Boop, tune them all out. Come on. And you just keep going.
You just keep going.
That's right. You got to strap in for the ride, baby. It's like warp speed up in here. It's like, has anybody ever been to warp drive? I'm out of here. Come on.
Well, before we get out of here, Jay, I talk about the importance of building generational wealth. That is something I scream out in probably every other episode since I started my podcast before meeting you. That is the journey I'm on, creating it for my family, because nobody created it for me. Nobody created it for the generation before me. The things that I'm doing is on that path of doing that for my children. My children mean the world to me. My wife means the world to me. And like you said, family is important. It's your legacy. It's you, especially your children. Your children are you, and you want the best for your children. What is the importance of building wealth?
First question that comes to my mind, do you have life insurance?
No, I don't.
Get it.
Okay.
Get it. Get a term life insurance, like $60 a month. How old are you?
41.
41. Get term life insurance. You can get $1 million for like $60-something a month. If you die on the way to greatness, you would take care of your family. Because we all have big dreams.
Gotcha.
But God has his own plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you leave this earth
before,
I want you to understand something. I'm going to tell you a story. There is no difference in a man that leaves his family in the middle of the night unexpectedly and takes all the money, or the man that passes away unexpectedly with no money. The economic hardship is the exact same.
Yeah, there's no difference.
There's no difference. Your goal is to take care of your wife and your family And for them to think that you cared enough about them, you want your greatness to go into death. Don't leave them in. Don't leave them in economic peril.
And see, that's what I love to hear. And I have to say this too, because you all would not have heard that interaction outside of this show. That's important because that is not taught in our community. That's not taught where I was from. That's not taught how we were growing up. As a matter of fact, life insurance means something different in our community. Life insurance means, oh, you're covered for when you just you're covered for when you die. Right. That's it. That's how they present it. That's how they present it on the jobs. That's how they present it when the jobs come and ask you if you want to get on life insurance through them and all of that. So that, I believe, was the most important thing out of this entire conversation that my people, our people, the entire world needed to hear. It's important, not just us as men to do that, but as a family. If you're a single mother, if you're a single father,
yeah,
it's important, period, to do that for your family.
Yeah, there's a famous basketball player, Steph Curry, or I don't know basketball very well. It's I don't know if it's him. It's somebody like that at that caliber.
Okay.
Maybe it's LeBron James or God, I don't know. It's somebody like an unbelievable caliber. Like they're huge.
Okay.
The only reason they were able to go to college is because their mother passed away and left life insurance for them. Again, I can't recall, but like this is like one of the top 10 people in the NBA right now. Somebody was telling me the story. I heard it on another podcast and they were talking about it and I kind of did some research on it. Anyway, their mother passed away and they left him life insurance and her wish was that he goes to college. The only reason why he was able to go to college is because she left the life insurance. And the only reason he was ever picked up by the NBA is because he was able to go to college. God works in mysterious ways. Wow. You know, we all have greatness inside of us, man. If you want to leave generational wealth, that's great. That's awesome. That's fantastic. But God could take you from this earth and on the way, because a lot of people are like, well, you're worth millions of dollars. I got like $10 million in life insurance policy. $10 million. If I passed away tomorrow, my family's going to get $10 million tax-free.
Come on.
All right. But you have to understand, if I passed away tomorrow, I've left my wife enough money where she never has to depend on another man ever again. Now, you can call that selfish. You can call whatever, but she can also pay off all the mortgages. She can also hire an individual that's going to take care of her. I've already left her and set her up like unbelievable. Like unbelievable. I got three life insurance policies. Three. I got one of the terms, but I also have like multi-millions in other life insurance policies. Because when I die, I want my wife to still, she already thinks I'm Superman. She already knows that I'm Superman. She knows I'm willing to perform and do whatever. But if I fail her in this one area, it will scar her and my children for the rest of their lives. Life. They will know that I never was the man they thought I was. Mm. I'm telling you, man, you got to get the life insurance immediately.
All right. So I'm talking to him about life insurance when we get there.
I'm not a life insurance salesman.
It don't matter. You're going to point me in the right direction. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Hey, I got your back. Black Rings Unite, man. Like I'm telling you, man, you do that, you will have a weight off your shoulders, man. It's unbelievable. $60 a month, man. I mean, we throw $60 a month away on just garbage.
That's nothing.
Like on Whole Foods onion, I'm on Whole Foods oranges. How much were those? Like $59 right there.
Yeah. That's just
like,
about.
Yeah. That's about $59 about, right there.
Yeah. Give or take.
Yeah. Give or take.
Give or take.
But I'm telling you, man, it's the greatest thing ever. It's the greatest. You got to get it. You got it. And back to your generational wealth building. Let's talk about that for just a moment.
Yeah.
I think the only way to build generational wealth is through real estate. You walked in on the podcast I was cutting. And by the way, you can go check it out on Where's My Money. I actually reference you. I'm like, hey, I got Mr. Cooper. He's coming into the studio. And, you know, the only way to do it is through real estate investing, but you got to learn the skill. You got to be able to like, hey, look, I've got to learn the skill. I'm not good at this. I don't know this. You've got to have the humility to be like, okay, I need to learn this skill and I can pass that on to my children. But do with real estate, you can pass down hundreds of millions of dollars in real estate for free. I'm talking to hundreds of millions, but with your 401k, whatever you leave, it's going to get state taxes. They're going to take 30%. They're going to take 40%. There is no way out. With your IRA, man, the fantastic thing about an IRA is you got to sell it. The government knows it's called required minimum distributions. At some point, you're going to have to sell it. You're going to have to get rid of it because you have to fulfill a tax obligation. If you pass away before then, it's going to go to your wife. She's got to fill it. At some point, there is no way out of this.
Right.
But with real estate, there is a huge way out. There's multiple levers you can pull to not pay taxes. That's the greatest thing ever, man. I'm telling you, man, generational wealth all through real estate. If you do it through single family homes, you can leave your family millions and millions of dollars and never pay taxes when you leave. Plus, you can leave with life insurance too.
I hope you all had your ears open. I hope you all had your eyes locked. That was jewels being dropped right here Okay, this ain't even his show, and he's on here dropping jewels that is gonna help not just myself, not just you, but your families, the next generation. Make sure you follow everything that Jason is doing. Jason, where can they find you again, sir?
Absolutely. It's going to be Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all of them are Jason Rash, J-A-S-O-N-R-A-S-H. Also, you can go to jasonrash.com. You can go there and find out more information about me. And if you want to shoot me an email and you heard me on Mr. Cooper's podcast, you can just go to podcast@jasonrash.com. And lastly, you can find I got to be honest. I got to plug this podcast.
Go ahead, man, please. So I'm waiting for you to do it. Yeah, everything.
I got a podcast called Where's My Money. It is the most thrilling and exciting and energetic podcast, financial podcast you've ever heard on this planet. It will light you up to learn about spreadsheets. I don't talk about spreadsheets, but if I did, you would still be excited about it. That's how awesome this podcast is. So you can find that anywhere, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere else that your podcasts are playing.
Come on. Y'all heard it first. That's Jason Rash.
Let's go. Let's go. Hey, if you hit me up and let me know that you came from Mr. Cooper's podcast, I may throw a little something free your way.
Y'all hear that? Yeah, I ain't giving gifts. Come on, man. You can't want anything better. Take the gift. Make sure you follow him and subscribe to everything that he's on. Make sure you follow me on IG. I am the real Mr. Cooper on Twitter, where I talk my shit constantly. The real Mr. Cooper everywhere else. The real Mr. Cooper. I thank you for joining me, Jason. Thank you for taking the time. I know you're a very busy man. Thank you all for tuning in on this episode. And join me next time on Convos. I'm Mr. Cooper. No mercy.